Good morning. Our Bible reading for today comes from Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 18, and we're going to read down through verse 23. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 18 and reading down through verse 23. Here the Bible says, "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is, God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he said, 'All these have I kept from my youth up.' Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, 'Yet lackest thou one thing: sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.' And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich." There we have the story of the rich young ruler. We read that in Luke chapter 18. We also read that story in Matthew chapter 19 and in Mark chapter 10. And we remind you again, folks, that it's very helpful to read each one of those accounts of this story. We find in reading those three accounts that this was a rich and a very rich young ruler. He was the ruler of a synagogue, and he was also a very sincere young man. The Bible tells us in Mark's account that when he saw Jesus, he came running to Jesus, and he kneeled down in Jesus' presence. So from all accounts, he is a good moral person. But we raised the question the last time that we looked at this passage and talked about the rich young ruler. We asked the question, where did he actually stand in the sight of God? Now, in man's eyes, you would probably find no better person than this rich young ruler. The people in the community probably looked at him and thought that there was no finer person that they knew among their kinfolk and among their relatives and acquaintances. But Jesus saw into his heart. Jesus didn't just look at the outside of people. Jesus saw what was inside of their soul. And even though the things that people saw on the outside may have been right, Jesus saw the inside. He saw the whole picture. He saw the whole person. Now, was this good moral person saved? We're going to look at that today on the broadcast. And I want you to remember that what we find here is that this is, from all accounts, a good moral individual, because the Bible says that Jesus told him to keep the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, don't bear false witness, and honor your father and your mother. And this young man came back and said, "Well, I've kept all of those. I have observed all of those from my youth up." And when you look at Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus adds the commandment, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," which is the second great commandment according to Jesus Christ. So this young man says, "I have observed those things from the time of my youth. What do I lack yet? What's missing?" Now, why would he ask that question? Was there some kind of doubt in his mind? Was he just trying to be sure here? Did he have that lingering doubt or question that really haunts, I think, a lot of people who are Christians? And that is, am I really right in God's sight? Is there anything that I need to take care of in my life? Well, what we're going to see here, folks, is that it's one thing to ask that question and then get the answer that we need, but it's another thing to put it into practice. You know, just because a person asks a question about the Bible and says, "I want to know what I need to do. I want to be right in God's sight. I want to be saved. So tell me what I need to do." It's one thing to ask that question, and it's another thing to mean it. We find in the Bible several times people coming to a prophet of God or to Jesus Christ and asking questions about salvation, asking questions about the Bible. Sometimes they didn't have a good motive at all. Sometimes they appear to have a very sincere motive, and maybe in their mind at that time, they are sincere. They're thinking that they're doing what's right, but they're really not examining their hearts. They're really not looking at their lives. And there was nobody that could cause you to look at your life like Jesus Christ. There was nobody that would cause you to look into your heart like the Lord himself, because the Lord saw all that was there. And what we find also is that Jesus Christ, as well as God himself throughout the Bible, would oftentimes give commandments to people to bring out what was inside of them so that everybody could see what that person was really all about. Now again, from all accounts, and from looking at this young man from the outside, you would think that there was no finer person in the world than this rich young ruler. Well, Jesus saw his good qualities. Jesus didn't accuse him of committing adultery or killing or stealing or anything like that. When this rich young ruler said that he had kept all these commandments from his youth, Jesus didn't say, well, no, you haven't. You haven't treated your father and mother right. You are a liar. You have borne false witness against people. He didn't do that. What he did was to test his love for God. What he did was to test this young man's trust in God as far as taking care of him was concerned. And so the Bible says that Jesus put this test to him. The Bible says in verse 22 that Jesus said, you lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, Jesus knew what he was doing here. He knew where this young man's heart was. He wasn't trying to be too hard on him, and Jesus was not trying to give some kind of universal rule here for everybody. Jesus does not require of anybody that's going to follow him that we just have to sell everything that we own and then come and follow him. That's not what he's doing right here. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. So you don't have to give up ownership of everything that you have in order to be a Christian. But here we have a special situation. Jesus knew this young man's heart, and he knew that there was something that was not right. And by the way, one of the things that you notice here that Jesus does not mention is where the Bible says that you are to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The greatest commandment of all is that. Jesus talks about that in Mark chapter 12, 29 through 31. But this is something that the rich young man does not say that he had done because actually he had not obeyed that. He did not love God with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength. He did not have absolute trust and faith in God, because he was attached to his belongings. He was attached to his money. In Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 19, the rich young man says, I have kept all these things from my youth up. What do I lack yet? What is missing? Jesus said, if you will be perfect. And the word perfect there doesn't mean sinless. It means complete. In our lives, we're not to set aside anything deliberately in the Word of God and say, well, I don't need to do that. If we're going to be complete as children of God, then we're going to have to listen to what God tells us and not pick and choose from what God commands. So Jesus said, if you want to be perfect or complete, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. There's the commandment. There is the test. You see, every time that God gives us a commandment, every time that God tells us to do something, or every time that God tells us not to do something, we are taking a test. It is a test of our faith. It is a test of our love. It is a test of our devotion and commitment to God Almighty. So Jesus gives him this test. He says, come and follow me after you've sold everything that you have. Now, how did the young man respond? How did he react? The Bible says when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. He was very sorrowful. Now notice the change here that's taken place. Just a few minutes earlier, this young man was anxious and he was very excited to talk to Jesus. He came running to Jesus. He didn't have to be dragged kicking and screaming. He didn't have to have his arm twisted to go to hear Jesus. He didn't have to be begged and pleaded with in order to hear Jesus Christ and to hear Jesus' words. He was anxious to get to Jesus. But here was the situation. Here was the problem. He already had his mind made up about what he was going to do, and he also already had his mind made up as to how far he would go with it. Now, perhaps he didn't fully realize that. Perhaps he didn't realize that he had drawn the line when it came to his possessions. In other words, he was willing to go with God. He was willing to obey God as far as these other commandments were concerned. But when it came to putting his money on the line, and putting his faith and his trust totally in God and not in his money, Well, that was a point that he would not go to. That was a line that he was not willing to respect. And so as a result, when Jesus gives him this test here, he fails the test. He's made a choice, you see. The choice was this: either be attached to your money or trust in God. Now, how many people fail that same test today? You know, that is the test that God gives all of us. We're going to have to decide if we're going to follow Jesus Christ. We're going to have to make up our minds that we will follow Him, we will trust in Him to provide for us, and we will not trust in our earthly things. We will not trust in our money. We will not trust in our jobs. We will trust in Jesus Christ. Now, we will work, we will do our part, and we will try to be the best managers and stewards of what God has given us. But at the same time, we must realize that God gives us everything that we have, that we're going to part with it someday, and that we ought to have full faith and confidence and trust in God. That was the challenge given to this rich young ruler. And the Bible says that he chose his riches. This same young man who is so excited about talking to Jesus Christ is now very sad. You see, not everybody that comes to church, not everybody that goes to the preacher and says, "Well, preacher, I've got some questions. I want to be saved. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a member of the church, but I've got some questions here." Not everybody that's excited about getting to the preacher and going to church is going to be happy with the answers that he gets. Sometimes people are just like this rich young ruler. They're excited at first. They say that they want to know whatever God says, and they want to do it because they want to go to heaven. But in their heart, there are some things that they don't want to part with. There are some things they don't want to give up. Friends, if we're going to follow God, if we're going to be Christians, that means that we must put God first and above and beyond anybody or anything else on earth. And one of the hardest things for people to do is to trust in God instead of trusting in their money or their riches or their things. Someday we will separate from our earthly belongings. It will come to all of us. The Bible says we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And the sad and the tragic thing is that what happened to the rich young ruler here happens today many, many times. Was he a saved man because he was a good moral man in many ways? No. Because there was something wrong with his heart, and he needed to change it, but he refused because of his lack of faith and trust and love for God. That's the lesson that we see here in the story of the rich young ruler, and tomorrow we're going to talk about him even more as we discuss what Jesus said about rich men in Luke chapter 18. We'll look forward to studying with you then, and until then, we hope that you have a great rest of the day.